Here in Matthew chapter 20, verse number 1, the scripture says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard." In our continued consideration of the kingdom and the messages we're bringing in that, we're going to all the scriptures that says what the kingdom of heaven is like unto, or the kingdom of the Lord. There is a kingdom of the Lord's. It's being built. It's being manifested. It's being shown forth. One day it will be the only kingdom that will be in existence, the only kingdom that will be eternally established. And for us, we that are saved, that is the kingdom that we're citizens of. And we know that. We know that presently. We've looked at many different things about it. Here in this consideration of the kingdom and in these passages that say that the kingdom is like unto, we're taking a look at different aspects of the kingdom. The Lord spoke in these parables to explain different things to us. And so this morning we want to see here in Matthew chapter 20 what it's all about, or what this passage is talking about in it. Understand that in these parables and in these aspects of the kingdom, no one portion of Scripture that talks about such is going to tell us everything about it. But it says, as I've mentioned to you and described it, it is an aspect of the kingdom. We took a look at several different aspects, and we'll do that again here this morning with the Lord's help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, and we thank you for your people, and the blessing, Lord, of the day that you've made, that we can meet together with your people in your church, Lord, the body that you have fitly joined together, each and every member, Lord, that you've put us together, that we might worship you here, and we thank you for the provision you've given us, the place to meet, that we can meet out of the rain, and Lord, we can meet in comfort. We pray, Father, that you'd help us in this time that we would worship you, and Lord, as we look into your word, we might be renewed in things that you've already taught us. We might be taught in things that we've not seen before. And Lord, that you would just build us up in your most holy faith. We pray, Father, for those here this morning, Lord, that are not saved, Lord, that are without Christ. We pray, Father, that you would touch them. Lord, help them and open their eyes that they might see that they are without the kingdom. Yes, they are a subject of the kingdom. But Lord, when you come and you establish your kingdom and set it up eternally, Lord, that presently in the shape that they're in, they have no part in it. We pray, Father, you might show them Christ, precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, you might show them their sin and their wickedness before you. And Lord, grant them repentance and faith. Lord, they might come to you in repentance and faith as you command. Help now and bless and work in it, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here we have this householder. He's a man that has a vineyard, and it's time he needs somebody to work in it. And so the Lord says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. And we want to get some background to this, and we see that over here in chapter 19. And then we'll pick it up in verse number 16, and we might get the context and have the understanding about it. So as we go into chapter 20, we can see and understand what the Lord's point is. In verse number 16, the rich young ruler comes to the Lord Jesus Christ of chapter 19, as we refer to him, the rich young ruler. And he's in search of something. And it says here, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? I'm looking for it. I'm not settled. I'm not comfortable with what I have. I'm looking for what I'm missing. Maybe you have the answer." And he said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one," the Lord answers, "that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Go ahead and keep them. Keep them. Keep those commandments if you want to enter into life. Well, the man's not satisfied with that, and he's got an opinion about himself. Verse 18, he saith unto him, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." I've never seen this point that I'm going to make and show you here before until studying for this message. But the Lord ended up with that commandment that's like the greatest commandment. He says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And the young man saith unto him, "All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" He says, "I've been doing them. I've been doing that." Well, we know he hadn't been doing it perfectly, has he? No way. You know, it's not possible for a man to do so, but he has pursued him. He believes that that he has done so, he says, I still lack something. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not complete. I'm not resting in it. Jesus saith unto him, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be mature, that's what this word perfect generally means in the scriptures. If thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The Lord had told him over in Mark, the account of this in Mark, he says, one thing you lack, and the thing that you lack, what you lack is you lack me. Come follow me. That's what the Lord told him to do. Sell all you have. The thing that I had not seen before is this in verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, Brother Jim, what do you mean? What is it that you haven't seen there? Well, listen, the Lord told him, said, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. But the man was sad. Why? Because he had great possessions. And you know what he wanted to do, or what he didn't want to do? He didn't want to give them to his neighbor. He said, that's not going to be a good trade. You for my stuff, giving my stuff to them. He went away sorrowful, didn't he? He went away sorrowful. It says over in Mark that the Lord had compassion on this young man. And there's an account also in Luke, and one of those accounts that says that he had compassion on the man. He loved the man. I don't know whether the man was ultimately saved or not. I wonder about that in this passage, but nevertheless, this is the thing that took place. And in verse 23, then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? He's hanging on to his stuff. His stuff gets in the way of the service of the Lord. He works so hard to get it. He's got that white knuckle grip on it. And it just is hard for him to turn that loose. Because that's what the Lord brought it down to this man. Sell your stuff, give it to the poor, and come follow the one thing that you lack, me. You need me. You need me. And the man couldn't do it. He just could not go there. It's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it's easier in verse 24 for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. I think the disciples really got their attention. Verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. Well, they knew themselves to be saved, did they not? The disciples that are there, they're saved, right? Those that had come forth in the day of John's ministry and declared that they were saved by the Lord and submitted to John's baptism, they knew that they were saved, but it said they were amazed. They marveled at this greatly. Wherefore, when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? You know, I think some of our opinion about the apostles, namely the apostles, is that they were men that were dirt poor. I don't think that they necessarily were dirt poor. They weren't like the richest in Judea and Galilee. But remember, James and John and Peter and Andrew, they were fishermen. They were part of the supplying food chain there in Capernaum. Capernaum depended on them. Now, I'm not saying they were the only fishers, but they were in that work and that business. Their fathers had been in that business. And I wonder if they don't kind of estimate in themselves that, you know, well, we're not like super rich, but we had a lot. We had plenty. They had enough money to buy boats, didn't they? Had enough money to mend nets, didn't they? Had enough wherewithal to be able to go and fish the next day, didn't they? And what about Levi? Levi was a man that sat at the receipt of custom. He was no chump. He was a man that was in the working. He was one of those despised publicans. And the publicans did well. They didn't do it necessarily honestly, but they did it, they did well. And we don't know about others of the disciples and such, but we know about those men because here the answer is, why is it that they would say, who then can be saved? Who then can be saved? Maybe they knew within themselves the care and the love that they had for their stuff. But here's the answer. Here's how sinners are saved. But Jesus beheld them. He looked on them. He beheld them. He looked on them. Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible. It's impossible by men for sinners to be saved. But you know what? With God all things are possible. Even the salvation of a rich man is possible. We know some rich men that were saved, don't we? Joseph of Arimathea, he wasn't a poor man. Nicodemus, he wasn't a poor man. See, salvation's not of us. This man, in a sense, was trying to save himself. And the Lord declares here, says, you need me for salvation. I'm the Savior of sinners. With men, it's impossible for sinners to be saved. But with God, even the salvation of a sinner is possible. If you're here this morning without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you need Him. You need Him, and Him alone. Him alone is the Savior of your soul. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. Verse 27, Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Peter says, well, we've left a lot. We've left it all. This man wouldn't leave it all, but we have. What are we going to get out of the deal, right? What are we going to get out of the deal? And Peter, he represents us in many ways very well, doesn't he? Peter's interested in good business. I've given it all up to follow you. What am I going to have? What will we have, therefore? Listen, I think the Lord kind of drops a bomb on him here, doesn't he? Verse 28, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon twelve thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You reckon their jaws dropped open? I don't think they were expecting that. Brother Bobby read this morning about James and John asking to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord in His kingdom, right? You know, it really in their consideration of that, because they were thinking about the Lord establishing His kingdom on the earth, they kind of set their goal kind of low, didn't they? Really, in a sense. And the Lord says, Peter says, what shall we have? Said, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Did they understand that? Well, maybe some they did, and maybe some they would in the future. And everyone, he goes on to say, that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Not only you fellas, but anyone that follows me, anyone that I say that follows me, that receives me in repentance and faith, and that follows me and forsakes the things and the people of this world for my sake, you're going to have blessing and benefit that you won't be able to count. I've mentioned to you this before. You know how the Lord, I moved from Southern Ohio in 1985, moved out to St. Louis, and in 87 the Lord saved me. I thought I was saved, but in 87 the Lord saved me, and I was there at Independence Baptist Church, you know, and there was an aspect of that was very lonely to leave home, to leave what I knew for years and move out there to a strange region. I had excitement about it, but there were times that I would ask myself, what have I done? It's that way. But there in the church, the Lord saved me, and I was added to the church there. And you know, the brothers and sisters in there, I don't have any physical brothers, but I had brethren there. You know, the Lord moved us from Independence to Olmsted Baptist Church. I've got brethren here. I don't have any physical sisters, but I've got sisters here. I've got sisters all over the country, brethren all over the country, from California all the way to the East Coast, different brothers and sisters that we've met. And you know that kinship that we have in Christ because of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we can meet brothers and sisters, folks that are saved also, and we just got that immediate connection and relationship, don't we? having never met them before. That's what the Lord's talking about. Older ladies that have in the Lord's churches and during the course of my life that the Lord's caused our paths to cross, they've been like mothers to me. They've taken care of me. They've cared for me. They've prayed for me. Older men that were like unto fathers. Indeed, the Lord does that for us, doesn't He? You know, we have to avail ourselves to it. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Amen? But the Lord does that for us. And that here, and it says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father, you know, it's not talking about not honoring your folks anymore. But if your folks don't want you to follow after the Lord and salvation, if you will, or the Lord, your folks don't want you to follow after the Lord in obedience and service in His church, who are you going to choose? The way that the Lord has commanded? Or the way that your folks want you to go? Or the way your brother wants you to go? Or the way your sister wants you to go? Maybe it's demanding of a person's situation that they work Sunday and that their whole business or their whole life is all wrapped up in their stuff and everything, and their stuff won't let them serve the Lord. You're going to lay that aside to follow the Lord? Or are you going to chase after that? Now, I think that's what the Lord's talking about here. It's not talking about despising people. The Lord wants us to honor our mother and our father. In another place in the Gospels, it tells that if a man won't hate father and mother, he's not worthy of me. Well, he's not talking about hating our parents, but he's talking about the love that we have for the Lord. That love that we have for our parents should pale. It should be so much less than the love we have for our Savior, that we are going to obey Him no matter what. And I think that's all wrapped up here into this. And so not only does the Lord give a little glimpse to the apostles about what they're going to do, but He tells about others. And it says in verse 30, this chapter wraps up, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You become last for the Lord's sake. You know what? In glory, it may be that you might be first. It'll be the Lord's doing. It'll be the Lord's operation and plan. What the Lord has in store for His people, you and I couldn't think and have not thought of the half of it. Amen? That's what the Scripture tells us. And so, may the Lord help us in that. Chapter 20, verse 1. For. That word for, we can also say because. Yeah, the Lord's going to tell us the kingdom of heaven, but because of this that you've asked, Peter, because of what I've told you and how that it is, because the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder. Here's an aspect of it, fellas. Here's an aspect of it I'm going to tell you about, and I want you to get this and receive this. He went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. That early in the morning is talking about 6 a.m. or so, sunrise. Went out there at daybreak. He's looking for some fellows to work. This is the way it is in the kingdom. This is an aspect of it. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them to his vineyard. So he's got a group there, and they say, come work for me. He said, how much? How much? Oh, I'll give you a penny for the day. Sounds good. And they go ahead, and he says, my place is on down the road here. You go so far, make the second left, and then on the first right, that's my vineyard. Go to work. I've got some fellows out there that'll meet you and get you going. And so they agree that they want to find out in advance what it's going to be about. What is it that they'll earn? What's their expectation for the day's labor? They want to know up front, and he tells them. So a penny a day. How's that work? He says, sounds good. Verse number 3. And he went out about the third hour. He's watching these fellas and seeing how they're doing. About 9 a.m., he says, well, we're going to need more help. We're going to get this job done today. And so he goes back, doesn't he? And it says there, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. They didn't get hired up there at the front end of the day. Maybe they're kind of getting antsy about getting hired at all today. He says, go work and whatever's right, I'll give you that. And you know what? They were agreeable to it. They said, okay. I thought, okay, that sounds good. Sounds good. Better to have part of a day's wage than none at all, right? So whatever's right, he offers to them, and they say, okay. And he said unto them, go ye into the vineyard, verse 4, whatever is right I will give you, and they went their way. Verse 5, and he went out about the sixth hour, noontime, and then also around the ninth hour, 3 p.m. or so, and did likewise. And then about the 11th hour, 5 p.m., he went out and did the same thing, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. And some's better than none. Let's go ahead and go. So this man, he engages these at the first of the day. They need an agreement. They're inquiring about how much. Maybe there's a better deal with the guy over here talking to somebody else, but he says a penny a day, so that works good, and they go. But during the course of the day, there's these others, and he says, whatever's right, I'll give you. Even down to 5 p.m., an hour or so or two, maybe before sunset. And they said, okay, yeah, we'll go out there and get something. Go out there and get something. And so they go. Verse 8. So when even was come, the sun is set, time for work is done. The Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire. And he says here, beginning from the last unto the first. He wants them lined up in that way, doesn't he? There's a reason for that. And the Lord, in this parable that he's telling, he's taking earthly things to explain to us about spiritual affairs. The Lord is making this point that the husbandman, the householder, he lines them up from those that he hired at 5 all the way to those that he hired first thing in the morning. And when they, verse 9, and when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, those were the guys first in line. They received every man a penny. They say, wow. The word on the street was that folks were being hired for a penny for all day. And look here, I got a penny. Wow, isn't that great? They enjoyed that, didn't they? But verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they had received more. So the 5 p.m. guys got paid. And then the 3 p.m. fellas got paid. And then the noontime fellas, they got paid. Then the 9 a.m. fellas, they got paid. And so those that started at 6 a.m., did I say 9 p.m.? 9 a.m., all right? Those fellas there, they got expectation, don't they? They had a deal, but because he's paying these others the same thing that the Lord had agreed with them about, they're expecting, well, surely we got more coming. We've been here working at it all day. Here working at it all day long. But when they first came, when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man's penny. And when they, verse 11, and when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house. What's it mean to murmur? Murmur means talking under your breath. Murmuring means being dissatisfied about a thing and talking to your neighbor about it. So I don't like what's going on here. Only got a penny for the day. Should have got more. Right? That's murmuring. That's what the children of Israel were known for in the wilderness, for murmuring. I don't like Moses. I don't like him telling us what to do. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this hard way. Could have stayed in Egypt and had it easy. Yeah, we had that burden to bear, but it'd be better than out here dying in the desert. I don't care what God says. I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. I wish we had never come here. That's murmuring, talking. If we ever find ourselves complaining in a low voice, you can mark it down. That equals murmuring, okay? Better to just say what you say and what you think, or better to keep it to yourself, for me to keep it to myself, than to murmur. Amen? Because the Lord doesn't like murmuring. These fellows are murmuring. How much you get? Well, I got a penny, man. I only came here at the middle of the day. So that's what I thought. I don't like it. That's not fair. That's not right. They're murmuring. Murmuring one to another. They don't like the husbandman, and they don't like their fellow workers either, do they? Because they're in a situation and allowed themselves to get in a situation here that just troubles them. They're mad at everybody. When they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, verse 12, saying, "These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day." It's not fair. It's not right. So they were angry. They're the only ones that it, Scripture says are angry, and they're angry at the householder, we said, and they're angry at the other workers too. You know, is this kind of parallel to what Peter was getting at? Remember what it said in chapter 19, verse 27? "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee." You kind of feel like Peter's kind of gritting on that? He's kind of, "Boy, I've gave up a lot for the Lord." You know, how much have you and I given up for the Lord? That's a question. Don't answer that. Answer that between you and the Lord. How much have you given up for the service of the Lord? You know? So what shall we have, therefore? It's kind of like that, isn't it? Verse 13. But he answered one of them in chapter 20. But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny?" Isn't that the contract? You know, Brother Ron, he preached on this, and I tell you what, it's heard him preach on it a couple times, and it's a blessing in that. You know, his title for this message is "Don't make contracts with God." That's one thing. Don't make deals with God. Don't make agreements with God. "God, I'll give you this if you'll give me that." You know what? Every time we do such a thing, we're going to short ourselves. We will short ourselves, because who of us deserves salvation? You know, we say it, and I know how folks mean it. I used to say it myself, "Better than I deserve." Listen, we deserve nothing. We did not deserve a thing. It's all from salvation on is better than we deserve. Amen? We don't deserve a thing. That's right, better than I deserve in every respect. I don't deserve to live. Much less the Lord save my soul. Much less the Lord put me in His church. Much less the Lord bless me with a wife and with children and blessings that He's bestowed upon us as a family. Clarissa and I were married 23 years yesterday. That's a blessing from God. A blessing from on high. I don't deserve that. But the Lord gives. These fellows, they'd made a deal. 1 penny. And that's what they got. And then they were dissatisfied with it because of the generosity of the husbandman. He was generous, wasn't he? Did the fellows work on the fifth hour? Did they deserve a penny? Well, doesn't have anything to do with deserving. The man had a penny, and he gave it to him. And that was his decision and what he did. That's just what he purposed and planned and determined to do. But he answered one of them in verse 13 and said, "Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou now agree with me for a penny?" Remember, they agreed. Unlike the others where the Lord of the vineyard said in verse 4, "Whatever's right, I'll give you. Whatever's right," in verse 7, "I'll give you." And they said, "Yeah, that's fine." That needs to be our attitude. That needs to be our ways. Well, you promised me this. And then you bless others greater than that. Why didn't I get that? Well, may the Lord help us. Don't make deals with God. Don't make contracts. As the brother referred to it, don't be a time clock Christian. Do you serve the Lord? Do you come to services? Do you give your tithes and offerings? Do you help with the affairs and the works of the church just to keep God off your back? Don't serve that way. Don't serve that way. The Lord has been liberal to us. May God help us. May the Lord help us in our hearts. And from our hearts, we would be liberal with the Lord. He's been liberal with us. Indeed. Indeed. And he goes on here in verse 15. And this is a concept that some are dealing with today. Verse number 14, take that as thine and go thy way, and I will give unto this last even as to thee. That's what he purposed to do. Is it not lawful for me to do with, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? You know who's a person's wealth that has that wealth? You know whose wealth it is? It's theirs. It's not ours. And they've got it because God has allowed them to have it or ordained for them to have it. They don't owe us a thing. Don't owe us a thing. But see, there's a socialistic attitude that what other people have should be dispersed and belong to everybody. That's just not so. It's not so. It's not that way. The station that we find ourselves in is what the Lord has given us. But the opportunity that we have is the opportunity that the Lord's given us. And the thing is as people before God that have been given life, we've got a responsibility to pursue well according to what the Word of God says. Not everybody is the same. It's just that way. Not everybody is the same. And so the man says, it says, have I become evil? Is your eye evil? Because I've been liberal to some, but chose not to be liberal to you. So I can do with what I want to. If I want to take mine and put it in a little pile here and burn it, I can do that. It's his. Wouldn't be being a good steward, but it is his, isn't it? And so he challenges those that debate with him about it. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? In Psalm chapter 24, take a look over here. I think this is part of what the Lord is explaining to us and telling us about here, about the kingdom. Very simple verse. But there is a wealth of understanding here if we'll just get a handle on this. Listen to what it says. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. What's that mean? That means it's His. He's created it. It's simple. The earth is the Lord's. You and I, maybe we've got title to a little piece of ground somewhere. Maybe you're blessed to even have the mineral rights that go all the way to the heart of the earth. You know what? You can't hang on to that forever. Because why? You're going to die. You're going to die. Can't do it. But you know who was here at the beginning? The Lord was. You know who's going to be here at the end, outliving us all, if you will? The Lord. It's His. He created it. It is His. The Lord, earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, what it brings forth. The world and they that dwell therein. That means you and me. And the world and the way of mankind, and mankind has got a terrible problem with this because we think we are belong to ourselves. But you know what? Even we belong to the Lord. You know what? The Lord can do with us whatever He wants to. Don't go making deals with somebody that you can't keep up with. Amen? Don't go. We are the subject of the Lord. We are His. We are created. He is the creator. Don't go making deals with God. Because He can take His that He's created and He can do what He wants to with it, can He? And you know what? Our great God and King, He always does well. There's never an error, never a sin, never a fault with Him. So what's the point, Brother Jim? We need to rest in Him. We need to trust in Him. We need to look to Him, say, Lord, what is it that You want done? The Lord says, go. Said, okay, Lord, I'll go. The Lord says, come. Okay, Lord, I'll come. Not adding any hooks to it. Not adding any conditions to it. Not adding any deals to it or contracts or wanting to go have an arrangement that's tit for tat. I'll do this for the Lord and then I expect this of Him. No, we owe Him service and praise and honor and glory because He is God. And He's created us and given us life. And so we go back here to Matthew chapter 20. And it says here, is it not lawful for me to do that what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? as the brother mentioned when he preached about this, he says, it's like the Lord having a business and paying $1,000 an hour for what the Lord's done for us. A business that would do such a thing would go broke, like a McDonald's or a restaurant or something. They couldn't handle paying the employees $1,000 an hour, could they? No way, no how. But see, the Lord can. And that's what He's done. He's provided it just in a salvation alone. Just in a given a sinner life on this earth, He's given more than we're worth. Don't go making deals with God. And this is the way the kingdom is. You know, submission to that. But what is it? Men fret and wrestle against it, don't they? This desire to not submit to the Lord has been the ruination of man across this globe over the millennia. Because they said, no, I'm not going to submit to God. I'm not going to submit to one God. I'm not going to submit to a God that's not of my own making. And what that's done is that's just taken men with their depravity and just taken it to where we just invented more things and more ways to get away from God. Evolution, that's what evolution is all about, is a denial of our Creator. And if we deny that Creator as men, as people of the earth, we deny that Creator, in our minds we think, I don't owe Him anything, I'm not subject to Him in any way, I can just go do whatever my heart and my soul and the desire of my flesh is. But that's not the case, is it? In verse number 16, the Lord makes the final point about this passage. So the last shall be first. Those guys hired at the fifth hour, they were made equal to those hired at 6 a.m. And they got paid first, didn't they? And you know what? It was good. And it was right because that's what the Lord said it should be. See? For you to get paid first, you know what I should say? That's good. Because that's what the Lord said. For the blessings that the Lord bestows upon my brothers and sisters in Christ and even people of the earth, I should say, that's good. Now, I'm not talking about wickedness and such as that. You understand that. But I say, if that's the way the Lord's put it and that's what the Lord's done, it is good. It's of Him. If God has determined it for it to be, it is all right. And you know what I need to do? I need to be happy with it. And if I'm not happy with it, I need to get happy with it. The Lord says, so the last shall be first, and the first last. The guys that made the deal, they got paid last even. And they didn't get what they thought they should have had coming, but they agreed for it. And so in that agreement, in that contract they made with the husbandman, they were sorely disappointed, weren't they? But you know what? The husbandman was not obligated at all to hire them. They forgot that, didn't they? He was not obligated at all to hire them. He could have pursued with them and not hired them and hired some fellows right beside him for the same amount of money because it was his choice. It was his decision. It was his vineyard. So the last shall be first and the first last. And then hear this last part of this verse. For many be called, but few chosen. You know, salvation is by grace through faith, repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I would have never known about the Savior and wouldn't have known about repentance and wouldn't have known about faith in the Lord if it hadn't been for the Lord coming to us, visiting us, working in us. We'd have never known it. The call of the gospel and the call of the Word of God, it goes out to many, many people. You know what? For the purpose and plan of God is the Lord's work and His purpose and His plan. He has chosen some that He would save. That's what He's done. It's what He's determined to do. And you know what? He can do that. There was a day that bothered me, that troubled me, that made me angry. You know, but the consideration that's right, I believe, here is, does this attribute of God's grace aggravate me? That the Lord would bless others with more than He blessed me with, that the Lord would save others and others He would not save. Does that aggravate me? It shouldn't aggravate me. What I need to do is I need to line up with it and say, praise be to God that He saved some. Because none are deserving. We are altogether away from God and corrupted in our sin and our wickedness and our depravity. Does the grace of God aggravate me? Does it aggravate you? It should not. Rather, I should rejoice in the Lord's grace towards anyone. See? Why? Because it's the doing of the Lord. For the Lord to save a sinner, I should rejoice in that. Because it's God's doing. Not be aggravated about those that He will not. You know, Brother Chad, he had a good example, and I think it's great. It's an example of a couple that goes to an orphanage. And they consider the children that are there. Maybe they're going to adopt a couple children. Maybe they might have 20, 30 children there at the orphanage. Nobody ever condemns that couple for just choosing two and leaving the other 28, do they? But they're thankful that they've taken the two. I think that's a good analogy. Because, see, they're not obligated to take any. But because of their love and their care and concern, they took the two that they did. They're never railed on for leaving the other 28. And I think that that tells about it, tells about what the Lord has done. Making deals with God, contracts with the Lord. You know, the kingdom of heaven is likened to that. Don't make contracts with the Lord. The Lord does what He wants to with that which is His. And praise God, He is merciful to sinners, and that He does call, He does choose some. Many are called, few are chosen. How is it with you? Well, Brother Jim, how do I know if I'm the chosen? You know, the Word of God never tells you a bit about doing that. You're dabbling and messing in an affair if you're here without Christ as Savior. If your heart and your mind goes there, you're messing in the wrong subject. It's not a category for you to even be dealing with. What the Lord has sent to you is that you're a sinner. And sinners need a Savior. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, He's the only one. And the Lord commands that you are to have repentance towards God. You are guilty and wicked before Him. The Word of God shows you so, and the Lord reveals that to mankind in His Word. And you need to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust in Him, that His death, His gospel, His death, His burial, His resurrection, that is enough to forgive you of your sins, that is able, that the Lord through that, some miraculous way, is able to cleanse your heart from its sin and save your soul and grant unto you everlasting life. It's all found in Him. We point you to Him. It's an affair between you and the Lord. We pray that the Lord will touch you and save you. We pray that the Lord by salvation will add you to the kingdom. We desire that. You know what? We as the Lord's people and the Lord's church, we're seeking the kingdom of God. We're seeking who they are. Amen? That's what the Lord said in what Matthew chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're looking for that aspect of the kingdom. Those that the Lord would save and add to His eternal kingdom. I tell you what, you can only be added through the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help and bless. May the Lord help us to understand and rest in this aspect of the kingdom.